Yesterday we were at the Rec League baseball championship there, and appreciate our coaches that are all three coaches. We have the Primers, we have the Warners, and the Rices, and they coach the kids. Mr. Sutliff pulls me over. He's like, 46 tomorrow. I'm like, man, that Rochester weather, I hate it. You know, one day it's 75, next day it's going to be 46. Because he's pretty good with the weather stuff. But they're celebrating their 46th wedding anniversary today. And praise the Lord for that. I know this has kind of put you on the spot, you two, but I know the Lord has made a major impact in your life and where you're at. Can you just give us a quick, Brother Sutliff, maybe just give us a quick word of testimony of just the change that the Lord has made in your home?
Sure. I am. Praise the Lord. And we never look back.
Amen. Amen. What a good reminder.
Amen.
Good reminder to us of the grace and the mercy of God. Ephesians chapter number 3. I'd like to congratulate you two. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter number 3. I think it's Sam Gipp that, I think when he gets up there, he says, it's good to be saved, right? Isn't that him? And, you know, we agree. Who would say no to that? I think it's just to rally the troops a little bit. I don't know. Anyways. But to be a Christian is, it's beyond measure. We got in on something that is so far beyond us that if we just stop and think about it, it's overwhelming. Ephesians chapter number 3, we're going to read the first 8 verses. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. I do believe Mr. Parrott was kind of teaching on this a little bit, that mountain peak prophecy. The prophets could see some things, but they couldn't see everything. And he says it there, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And all the Gentiles said, amen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, let's think about that for a second. We got in on the blessings of God. We have no business being there. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Anybody that serves the Lord, I can tell you if they're worth anything, has this mentality. I don't belong here. That's Paul. This is a gift. The gift to be able to preach the gospel unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Look at this. Is this grace given? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm going to need your help here today. God, for this mortal attempt to use your word to define the unsearchable riches found in your Son, Lord, I pray for your help. God, I pray that we would be strengthened this morning through faith, that many of these things we have not yet seen, God, we look forward to. Lord, I pray that you'd bless your word here today in a powerful way. Lord, get a hold of our hearts. Lord, we need you right now. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. That word unsearchable as I wrote in the bulletin this morning, isn't that it's unfindable. Unsearchable isn't a description of something that cannot be found. It is the description of the ability to measure just how deep. If I said, I put a quarter at the bottom of the ocean, go find it. Well, because of the vastness, because of the depth, because of the grandeur, man, it'd be tough to, it would almost be said it's unsearchable. Hey, that's the goodness and the grace of God. Hey, we're going to try and put parameters around the unsearchable, just the riches of Christ, what it means to be saved by the grace of God. There's too many to define. It's like trying to find a quarter at the bottom of the ocean. It's just so big. Saying, you're going to do this in 30 minutes? No. But we'll talk about a few of them. Ephesians chapter number 1. Man, it's good to be a child of God. We think, what I love about the riches of Christ is that not one could be bought. Not one could be earned. Not one could be somehow obtained through our own means. That's what makes it the riches of Christ. If it was riches of man, Benjamin, then I could somehow work my way. But the riches of Christ, the greatest part about these riches is that it's a gift available to all. I remember as a young person going to Pizza Hut and having a birthday party. Little red plastic cups, the pretty chandelier, that was it. Pac-Man and over in the corner. And the greatest pizza ever made to man. And there we were, and I was at my friend Jimmy Arena's birthday party. I remember it. And he's getting his gifts, and a little bit in my heart, I said, man, I wish I got that. I hope at my birthday party, those are my gifts. You know, when we are going to read through this, and you look at that and go, man, I wish the riches of Christ were available to me. Hey, good news. It's all available. It's all available to us. We're going to look at six things here this morning, starting in verse 7. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. If you're taking notes, that's number 1. Redemption through His blood. You understand that you cannot obtain that outside of Christ. The word redemption, to purchase back of something that had been lost, the definition goes on to say this additional thought, by the payment of a ransom. See, that sounds a little conniving. How about when you go to Wegmans and you buy a 2 liter of Pepsi and they say, we're going to hold 5 cents ransom. And until you pay this ransom and return this 2 liter of plastic, we will keep your nickel. And then you go and you redeem it into the Topps Redemption Center. They have a nice sliding door. You've done wonderful work over there, Samuel. And they hold that ransom. And God says, hey, I'm going to purchase back something by the payment of a ransom. That right there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. By His blood. That's what He paid for. That's what He bought you with. Paul asked the question in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. For ye are bought with a price. So how is that riches? Hey, someone in this universe looked down and said, I want you. And I am going to give, I want you so bad, I am going to do something where we can spend eternity together. This week we're taking a family vacation, going to see family. It's like a real family vacation. So there's going to be 26 of us in one house. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law and their three kids, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law and their five kids, my sister-in-law and their two kids, and my mother-in-law and father-in-law, and us. By Friday, the cars will be packed, and we will be ready to come home. Christ says, I want to spend eternity with you. And I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to pay my blood in exchange for you. And you're bought with a price. He wants you. He doesn't just want you for a moment. He wants you for all eternity. Oh, that's a rich. That is unsearchable riches of Christ. Galatians chapter number 3. So I could redeem myself. No, you could not. Galatians chapter number 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. You were cursed, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Look at chapter number 4, just a page over, in verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of the sons. You know what every little boy and every little girl that doesn't have a mom and dad want? A mom and dad. And there they sit in those organizations and hoping that someone would come by, a family, and sit in the office with the counselor and say, do you have, and describe that young person. Do you have a 10-year-old little boy? Do you have a 2-year-old little girl? We would like to adopt them into our family. That's what Christ said. I would like to redeem them and bring them into my family. Oh, we got in on something we don't deserve. There we were. Dirty, messy, filthy rags. And Christ comes into the adoption hall. And there we are sitting with nothing to offer. And He goes by and He goes into the office and He says, I want you. And He takes us out. Now we have a family. Man, isn't that good? Adopted. Redeemed. Say that. Glad I didn't have to. You understand what He had to pay? Sure, you didn't have to pay anything. But that was a costly purchase. Titus chapter number 2. The unsearchable riches of Christ. The Bible says in verse 14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Some of you took that peculiar people and just ran with it. That's what we are. He says, I'll take you. I want you. Redeemed. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse 18. It's a shame, a termination of a pregnancy is so inexpensive, often covered, and an adoption is so expensive. Tens of thousands, lawyers. In 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 18, how much did you cost? Well, it says this, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. When Christ shed his blood on the cross, he paid for your way. He bought you. If you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem you, it's all been paid for. But have you asked him to be your Savior? The debt against us is not viewed by God anymore. It's been canceled, paid in full. Christ's blood, which he surrendered for us, is the ransom by which we as his people have experienced deliverance. From what? What did he deliver me from? A life of servitude of sin and the consequences of my sin. Which brings us to the second point. Number one, the unsearchable riches of Christ, redemption through his blood. But number two, the forgiveness of sins. God has absolved the sinner from the condemnation of the law. And that is on the account of Christ himself. God removes, hey, one of the worst things about sin is guilt. Well, it should be. Man, shame on us if we can sin with no guilt. But God removes the guilt of sin. 1 John 1:9, look at this verse. 1 John 1:9, way back in the back of your Bible. Not the Gospel of John, but same author, just a smaller book here. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, what is he? He is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins. And in forgiving us of our sins, what happens? We are cleansed from all unrighteousness. So he walks into the adoption agency and he sees this tattered, messy, filthy, in rags little boy that has no way to redeem himself. And he comes in and he purchases us with his blood. And on the way out, he cleans us up, gives us a new robe, white as snow, gives us a home, and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Hey, as a child of God, you've been cleansed. I don't like being dirty. Yesterday it was muggy out, and I just felt sticky. The Italian-ness was just sticky. As much oil as I have flowing through me, you'd think nothing would stick to me. But it was. And I just had to wash up a couple times. I don't like being dirty. Anybody else like that? Oh, that we would feel the same in our heart. I just don't like being dirty. Well, good news. One of the unsearchable riches of Christ, yes, is redemption through his blood. Number two is the forgiveness of sins. Do you know that if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, I am sorry for my sin, you know what he says? I will forgive you. I will forgive you. The God that knows everything about us, yet he still chooses to forgive us. And the beauty of God's forgiveness is he truly does treat us like it never happened. We are no longer enmity, but we are family. Ephesians chapter number 1. This afternoon, maybe similar to our car ride home, the kids are going to say, "Mom, Dad, what was church about?" Oh, let me tell you what a great thing it is to be a child of God. Listen, I was a mess, and the Lord walked into the adoption agency and said, "I want you. I'm wanted." Some of our ladies this week were working at a dog kennel thing. Dogs, come get them. They're handsome and beautiful, and this one's free to a good home. This one's $2,000, but this one's free to a good home. No, we don't want that one. That one's got a limp or something. We'll take the, hey, we're all blind. We are all lame. We're all filthy. Bite at the hand that would try and feed us. Selfish, proud. And God says, yep, just what I'm looking for. Unbelievable. And then cleans us up. Cleans us up. It's good to be a child of God. Unsearchable riches of Christ. Number 3, found in Ephesians chapter number 1, in verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. What? Not only did he redeem us, not only did he clean us up, but he says, now I have a purpose for you. There are young people from coast to coast, north, south, east, and west, that have no purpose. And the devil is convincing them, hey, you're no good. This world would be better without you. And they're believing a lie. And God says, oh, no, no, not at all. I actually have a plan for your life. Remember back in 10th or 11th grade, there you go, and all of a sudden you get a note from the guidance counselor. We would like to talk to you in the office. Oh man, they finally caught me, and there you go. And you go and you sit down and you're sitting across from a person, a lady, a man that you've never met before, and they introduce themselves. Hi, I'm Mr. Smith. I am your guidance counselor. And it's like, okay, what do you want to do with your life? I don't know, I'm 14. 15. I have no idea. I want to play video games. I want to, and they say, no, you're going to have to make a decision about life. Do you have any interest? Do you like band or do you like computers? And they start pointing you in a direction. You know, when the Lord saved us, he says, I got a plan for you. There's a lot of young people that have no idea what to do with their life. There's a lot of old people that have no idea what to do with their life. And God says, I've got it all laid out for you. What confidence. A mystery is revealed, it says in verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse 3, it tells us that his will is that we be sanctified. What does that mean? That means set apart for holy use. That's what he wants from you. I want you to, I not only cleaned you up, but I want you to stay clean. Stay clean. Yesterday, one of our monthly rituals of washing our dog. So there we are. We take him outside and we get the hose out and we start hosing him down. We got this special, because he's allergic to air, we have this special shampoo and we're scrubbing him, and it's got to sit on for 5 to 10 minutes. And he's just sitting there and the water's cold, so he's shaking a little bit. And, you know, you're doing that, and then you got to hose him down. And then we got to watch him really careful. We take him for a walk. It was nice. It was warm. I have him walk outside. You know, every 2 minutes he does the thing and get me all wet. And then we go and he does it again. And that really effective, actually, and gets a lot of the water off. But then if we leave him alone, he says this in his head. He says, Dad, I am going to go find the most vile, the most disgusting, the most smelly thing I can, and I'm just going to take my clean body and rub it all into it. Welcome to the life of the Christian. I've redeemed you. I've forgiven you. I've cleansed you. And now I've got a plan for you. And that involves you staying clean. And what do? We look left and right. How can I get dirty? And God says, nope, that's not what I want for you. I want you to stay clean. Stay clean. I want you to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 18. He says, it is my will that you appreciate and give thanks unto me. Why? Because it keeps it all in balance. It keeps us where we ought to be and keeps God where he ought to be. He says, I have a purpose for your life. Revelation chapter number 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Is that a true statement? Is God worthy? He's worthy of our life, our worship, our service, our love, our glory. If we could glorify the Lord, he's worthy of our honor. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. If you're an all thing, raise your hand. Sure. Some of you aren't sure. Some I just woke up. That's fine. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, God's pleasure, they are and were created. He's revealed his mystery of his will. I want you to stay clean. I want you to give thanks. And God says, it's all about me. You're here to serve and please me. See, that sounds miserable. That's the greatest life you can live. When our life is all about the Lord, you know what I just got? When he reveals his will, I just got a compass. Say, what does that mean? I know which direction to head in my life. Tomorrow at early hours, ungodly hours, we're going to pack into the car and we're all going to get our little seats. I'm driving and I'm going to sit there and the first thing I'm going to do is type in where I'm going. I'm very uptight about that. I don't want to waste a minute going in the wrong direction. I'll even get it going before I pull out of my driveway. I know which way to go out of my driveway, but still, maybe there's a faster way. I want direction. God says, I will show you direction. Say, that's an unsearchable. You go talk to someone that doesn't know where they're going. You talk to a person that doesn't know why they're here. You talk to a person that doesn't know Christ and doesn't know that they should stay clean and give thanks. And God's got a plan for their life and they're wanted. Oh, you start offering all of that? That is unsearchable riches. And it only comes through Christ. He has given us a compass for life. Well, that works good for 15-year-olds. That works good for 15-year-olds, 25, 35, 45, 5-year-olds, 65, 75, 85. Miss Janet Haight, where are you? Are you in here? There she is. She had a birthday this week. Mrs. Hartman, how old did she turn this week? 88. Unbelievable. I think our oldest member. I think you've been a member longer than anybody else. Her names are in all of our old books. This works for her too. It is a compass for life. Ephesians chapter number 1. So I don't know what to do. How about you just ask the Lord? Amen. That sounds good. All right. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Number one, redemption through his blood. Number two, the forgiveness of sins. Number three, a mystery of his will revealed. Number four, oh man, this is so good. In verse 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the, again, get your pen out, underline these next three words, the word of truth. He says, I got something for you. I have something for you that you can 100% rely on. Say, what is that? That's the word of God, 100% true. Man, I'm putting a lot of faith in this book. I'm putting a lot of faith in the God of this book. That the promises he made, he's going to keep. Again, a promise, you've heard me say this countless times, but a promise is only good as the person that makes it. if I went and saw little Savannah Warner and she promised something. Well, she's two. Maybe all intentions, but when God makes a promise and he says, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you something that is always true. The Word of God is steady. It does not fluctuate with culture, with time. It is true 100% of the time. Isn't that good? That's an unsearchable rich. John chapter 17. We will speak a moment about the Word of God. Sometimes, I don't know why, I don't know if it's a conscious choice or it just sometimes happens. Sometimes we forget about how valuable the Word of God is. And unfortunately, sometimes in the times when we should be opening it the most, we close it and put it off to the side. And we rely on our own reasoning and wisdom. And that is very dangerous. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What you hold in your hand is the word of God, and it is true. Hey, how's this thing all end? It ends with, well, let's read the end of the story. We know exactly how it ends. Well, how did it all start? Let's go back to the beginning and see how it started. What happens in between? Let's read all in between. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that it's profitable. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, here's the part we don't like. Study is required. The Word of God does not work by osmosis. I want to get it into my heart. No, that doesn't work like that. I need to open it up. I need to study it. I need to read it. I need to memorize it. I need to consider it. I need to meditate upon it. Oh, that's too much work. That is an invaluable gift. The word of truth. The Bible is inexhaustible. Say, what does that mean? Cannot find the end. You could read this thing 50 times. How many of you have a favorite movie? Maybe you could quote it. Sure. None of you in church. We don't watch movies. All right, whatever. Remember when you were lost and you watched a movie. All right, there you are. You have a favorite movie. Maybe it's like, a Disney movie or a Princess Bride or something like that. And you watch it a number of times. Oh, I love this part! And you quote it. Hey, we're better at quoting movie lines than we are Bible lines. What happens when Samuel, oh, yeah, I love this part. Let me tell you about it. But you could read it over and over and over and over and over again. And it is inexhaustible. Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter number 30 that it is pure. Pure. I want you to go to Romans chapter 11. And get your pen out. This is a beautiful verse. Romans 11 and verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, exclamation point. Oh, the depth of the riches. It's unsearchable. You won't find the end of the riches, of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Say, I'm going to get to the end of this book. You will not. It is the word of truth and it is inexhaustible, unsearchable, meaning it is so vast, so deep, yet so simple at the same time that it meets our needs daily. And God says, a gift to you. Unsearchable. Ephesians chapter number 1. If you've lost count, this is point number 5 of 6. And we're almost done. I'm looking at the verses. We don't have much more. I don't know. I'm just excited about that. I'm excited about being a child of God. And you know, life, the world will just try and steal your joy and steal your ways and try and steal your resources, your time, your money, your heart. And God says, I got something greater than anything you could buy on Amazon, Walmart. You can't. It's only through me. And it is redemption. It is forgiveness. It is purpose. It is truth. Maybe you, like me, are fearful because if God is who He says He is, and as holy as He says He is, and as sanctified as He wants to me, as He wants me to be, I look at that and I think, I've got a problem. Because if sin is a divider between me and God, what happens if I sin after? God says, I'll take care of it. So how are you going to take care of that? Look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. This is Ephesians 1:13. If you're not there, please turn there. Ephesians 1:13. At the end of the verse, it says this. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God says, I'm just going to take you and I'm just going to hold on to you. I'm going to seal you. Listen, I'm not going to seal you by the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to seal you with the Holy Spirit. Hey, that thought was impacting to me when I was reading this. Sarah came walking through the living room. I'm like, hey, listen to this. We're not sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Whew. We're owned by Him. I like little, if you've ever been in my office, I have little toys. Say, what do you mean? Well, I got a magnet it'll pull your knee replacement right out of your leg. I'm telling you, it is strong. It is a neodymium, it's 1 inch by... I have a little thing that you can spin, and it like hovers, and I got just toys. And a thing I've looked at to purchase was one of those little hot wax things where you put the seal on it. Say, for what? No purpose. Just, I thought it was cool. I have a fountain pen set. I have the ink and the glass pen. I have a little embosser thing that says Library of Nicholas J. Russo. So I stamp my books so if someone does borrow them, they know how to return them. And I thought, man, how cool to get one of those little seals. You send a letter, just send an RG&E bill in and just put the seal on it. Just boom. It just solidifies things. That's what the Holy Spirit did. Sealed. Boom. Owned. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. If you leave here today with your bottom lip dragging, you dozed off. I don't know. I don't know how you can look at all these things and go, yeah. But I'm going to go see what the world has to offer. Nothing. Nothing compared to this. Go over and sit at the table and say, hi, I'm here representing the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what He has to offer. And then you sit at the used car salesman and say, all right, world, offer your best. Well, we can offer faint. Yeah, that's temporary. Do you have hope? Do you have peace? Do you have purpose? No, we can't offer that. I'm out of here. There you go. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 21. Now He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us. Sealed! And given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So you're telling me exactly what I'm telling you. Sealed. Can't lose it. Final purchase. Paid in full. You're his for all eternity. Ephesians chapter number 4. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Hey, we're going to be in this world, but we won't be of it. No longer has bearing. We are no longer a servant of sin, but a servant of righteousness. And God says, I'll just keep that seal on you until we are face to face. And then I take this mortal and I put our immortality. I take this corruptible and I put on incorruption. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. Not only did he want you, but he wanted you forever. And lastly, Ephesians chapter number 1. Lastly, in verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Not only did he walk into the adoption office and took our messy, problematic, debt-filled life and cleaned us up and gave us purpose, but at the same time, he says, I'm going to establish something on the other side. There's going to be an inheritance that is eternal. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Same chapter in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Those are the word of God tied with the will of God. And what the riches of his glory, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And I'm thankful for that. There's something, this isn't the end. There's something even better waiting on the other side, Chet. An inheritance. Orphans don't get inheritances. You do. Because of who your father is. Romans chapter number 8. Two more verses. Okay, three more verses. Say, you're going to keep a, like, might as well just go right to youth choir practice. Fine. We can do it. If you have a roast in the oven, bad day. It's hot and muggy. Hopefully you, I don't know. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh, man. That's great. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. God says, I got something for you. You are joint heirs with Christ. I don't deserve that. I ought not to be here. I ought not to be sitting at that table. I ought not to be have given those things. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Colossians chapter number 3. An eternal inheritance. Maybe you worked really hard in your life. Say, we'll just make up numbers. Say you have been able to establish and have a nest egg of a couple million dollars. You leave that to your children. That's it. How about this? God says, I got something for you that's going to last eternally. What would you rather have? I'll take the eternal. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. In Colossians 3:23. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Redeemed, cleansed, purpose, truth, sealed. And he says, would you serve me? It's amazing to me to think that it's a battle. Why wouldn't I serve him? Look at all that he has done for me. Look at where he took me from. Look at what I was. I was filthy. I was a mess. I was so in debt I could never. And he took me, and he chose me, and he wanted me, and he loved me, and he's cleansed me, and he's given me a job. And he's never lied to me. And he says, I want to spend eternity with you. He says, would you serve me? Now I'm going to live for myself. Are you kidding? An eternal inheritance. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 3. In verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Paul said in the adoption agency, I was the one way at the end. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In verse 16 of the same chapter. That he would grant, tell me that next word, you. Not them. But when you read this, he's talking to you. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Maybe you're struggling here today, personally. Well, can we review these things? Have you reviewed those things in your own heart? It says, grant you. This is available to you. You're not sitting at the birthday party back in, I'm thinking maybe 1988, maybe 1986. Red plastic cups, the most divine pizza coming out of the oven, and your buddy getting presents that you wish you could have. The list that we had here today is only available through Christ, but it's available to everybody. Let's all stand. If you're here this morning, and you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, it's as simple as this. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And because of my sin, I deserve hell. But I put my faith and trust in you, Lord. Forgive me. Would you please save me? Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. That simple, but it's believing in your heart. If you've prayed, you could pray that today. And the Lord Jesus Christ would walk right into that adoption agency and take you by your filthy hand and lead you out and put a new cloak on you, clean, and he'll clean you up and he'll remove that curse of guilt. He'll give you direction for your life. And he's already written you a love letter. He says, I'll seal you. And I have an inheritance for you. It's available. Second point here this morning. Are you serving him? If he's done all that, does he get your love and service? Maybe you want to come in a moment, the music's going to play. You want to come and kneel before the Lord and say, God, I want to serve you more. I think I've been living for myself. I've missed out on the unsearchable riches of your Son. I've neglected your word of truth. Hey, why don't you be open and honest with the Lord here this morning? Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. God, that you be honored and glorified. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today?